Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Business Leaders of America podcast. Today, we have a seasoned entrepreneur and expert in the world of video marketing, Robert Weiss, president of Multivision Digital, which is a New York City corporate video production and video marketing service company. With over 14 years at the helm of Multivision Digital, Robert has led an award-winning video production agency that has crafted over 1,500 videos for businesses of all sizes and industries. From solo entrepreneurs to global Fortune 500 companies, Multivision Digital has been the driving force behind impactful video marketing campaigns that significantly influence sales, lead generation, and client loyalty. Stay tuned as we dive into the world of video marketing with Robert, as he shares invaluable insights on leveraging the power of video to propel businesses to new heights. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Welcome. Thank you very much. That was made me smile there.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, like, we've worked hard over the last 13 years, but yeah, that was a great intro. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, 1,500 videos, that is impressive.
Yeah.
All right,
done a lot.
Yeah.
I think we put, what is it, the Outliers guy, Malcolm Gladwell, you know, 10,000 hours. We've definitely put our 10,000 hours.
Yeah, you've hit that beat, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Robert, if you could please give us a brief background on yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Well, you know, being a video production company, most people think I went to film school or have a video background. I worked for a movie or a TV station. Well, that is not the case. I started this video production company without any video experience, you know, except from, you know, my old prosumer days. But, you know, I was really, really bad. So I started working as a sales guy, business development person, and got into the internet and basically sold websites and front ends and back ends, and then got into SaaS and got into email marketing. So I've seen the adoption of what once was digital marketing technologies that you had to convince people that they needed. And today, there's no disputing the fact that you need a website, that you need to use email marketing, that SEO is important. Like, that's a given. And right. And companies have all put that into their just natural course of doing business. But that wasn't the case back when. And then I saw video. I was like, wow, video is going to be that next thing that, you know, will be adopted. It wasn't being adopted, you know, as much as it is now. And we still have a long way to go with video. But, like, that's the next thing. So I was like, well, I kind of always wanted to be my own boss. Let's give it a shot. And that's how things got started way back when. And again, I started without any video experience. And today we've got amazing clients. We have a small team of people. Some of them have been working with me since day one, and others that are 7 years and 3 years and 8 years. And I've got a good ecosystem and processes, and, you know, we've built that, you know, like I said, with hard work. But yeah, that's how I got into to video.
Right. Oh, that's great. You mentioned the importance of video in businesses, and it almost seems like every business has to have some sort of video content. You know, I mean, you look at the Super Bowl even, and companies are paying these tons and tons of money to have their ads aired on national television. But even to a smaller scale, I mean, it seems like all businesses are kind of leaning towards video content, especially the era that we're in now. But what kind of impact does video content have on businesses? And can you give us a couple of examples of how Multivision has been successful in their campaigns?
Well, I'm going to kind of take that answer and flip it, right? Because it's not about the businesses, it's about the buyers. And what video does is give buyers the most amount of information in the shortest amount of time. And when we're talking, I think predominantly B2B here, right? It's a relationship-driven sale. People are busy. They don't have a lot of time. So the better you can as a business, a seller, give them the most amount of information in the shortest amount of time to make a decision, they're going to gravitate towards you. Then, in addition, what video does for the buyer is tell them what they need to know and show them what they need to know. And for the most part, show them who is doing it without trying to read and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that's going to do what? Help the buyer make a decision. Right. So those things right there are reasons why businesses invest and they continue to invest. And if you're not investing now, get started. Mm-hmm. Right? Video is a marathon. It's not a sprint. But there's many different metrics that play a role in video because one video is not a video marketing strategy. And where businesses need to go is to develop a plan and a strategy and a cadence for creating video that plugs into all the different parts of their awareness, lead conversion, sales enablement, sales process, training, recruiting, DE&I, sustainability, whatever other types of things that you're doing, right? Because they're doing that now with content. They're creating content for awareness that is not the content that they have for product launch, that is not the content that they have for recruiting, mm-hmm. right? And that's the same methodology that they need to start applying to video, because video is just content. And for the reasons that we mentioned before, the beginning of this, you know, question, it's impactful because that's what buyers want, because it makes it easy for them. And when you can explain things and inform and educate, then you're more attractive to buyers because they're empowered. And that's what really going back to the internet has done for buyers, is empowered them, you know? And when you can do that, you win.
Right. And like you just mentioned, there's a strategic approach to all of this, right? So when it comes to sales, how does the integration of video into sales processes impact conversions and customer empowerment? Engagement, I'm sorry.
Again, I think there's two parts of that. It's the strategy and then, you know, the execution. It starts with creating the right content. Mm-hmm. Because if you're talking about apples, you should not be doing videos about oranges.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So we have a saying is that when you start thinking about video, the best thing to do is to stop thinking about video. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to sell apples? You're trying to sell oranges, or are you going into the apple industry or the orange industry?
Yeah.
So create content that aligns with your business strategy. And when you do that, video is integrated into your workflows and your sales process, your business objectives. So you can use that content for that specific business objective. And then the how is a little bit custom to each organization because they're all set up differently, mm-hmm. big, medium, small. They're all going to have different workflows of how they get content out the door for the specific channels. So it's going to be hard to kind of answer that question.
Right. Do you see a lot of businesses not aligned with what they're trying to sell? Does that happen
all
frequently?
The time?
Really?
Yes, all the time. Yeah. And the one of the biggest things that I have seen over the years, somebody comes to me is like, oh, I want to do a video, or I have, you know, budget. I want to do a video. I want to do a corporate overview video. And they, you know, a decent amount of budget. And that's a video that like kind of like an about us. That's something that needs to be thoughtful. You need to have a decent budget for that because it needs to be nice. It's your like hero type of video. But they're just getting started with video. And I feel that they can make better investments with that budget, whatever that X budget is to the listener now. You take that and you do a corporate overview video. That's one video you're doing once. You have one piece of content. But if you did FAQ videos, product overview videos, testimonials, you're going to get more pieces of content, more videos out of that X budget. But again, whatever that is to you listener now, mm-hmm. you're going to get multiple pieces of content that really appeal to buyers versus that corporate overview video that makes the company feel good, but has a very, very small use case and is, you know, not as important to buyers because their buyers are not searching, give me a corporate overview video on this company. Mm-hmm. They're searching answers to how do I do this or give me a solution that does that. That's where you want to get your video to shine and show up in those searches. So you can get lots of smaller production videos versus that high production corporate overview video. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that a year or two down the line, that organization should not have all of those. They should. But it's where you get started in your investing and going back to some of the kind of like mistakes that I've seen people make, you know? Mm-hmm. So we always advise our clients, especially if they're getting started, find a way to leverage your budget to get more videos that appeal to buyers and then watch the needle move. And then that will empower your team to either do that project again or then do that corporate overview video. Yeah. Because you've seen the power of video.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So depending on the business and who you guys are working with at Multivision, is the frequency different for each business? How often you should be producing the videos? I know the budget, like you mentioned, the budgets matter and stuff, but does the frequency change each time you're working with different businesses?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, again, size of business, the type of business. Manufacturing companies, we've got a lot of manufacturing companies. We're in there anywhere between 2 to 3 times a year because they have different products. And if you think about like the old days where people had like shelves of brochures and now they probably have shelves of brochures like in a digital folder somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of methodology that we've applied to working with companies that have like physical products. We're kind of chipping away at, okay, we'll go in to do one product, you know, beginning of the year, and we'll do a product overview video with FAQs. And then the second part of the year, we're going to do another product line. So at the end of like 4 or 5 years, then they have that, like that library, mm-hmm. if you will, that salespeople can quote unquote pull the videos off the shelves to give to their clients. Mm-hmm. And then we've got other types of organizations like law firms that they have 700 partners and that we're in there once a month, you know, doing anywhere between 3 to 7 or 8 videos a day for thought leadership types of content, right? And that's a great example of get started now because you're really going to learn how to do it. There are partners at that firm who 2 years ago were not good in front of the camera. It took them a long time to do video, not just to be on camera, but to plan for it. The last time that we were in there, we worked with one partner. Within 1 hour, we got 5 videos that their firm would then roll out in the next 5 months, mm-hmm. once a month, right? So think about the value of that partner's time, being able to get 5 videos in 1 hour. Mm-hmm. That supports his personality, gets him front and center on camera, out to his audience and his clients and his social media and his emails as being the head of a practice area. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do that 2 years ago. But that's why you should get started today, because you're going to learn a lot about how to do video. And video is not just the cameras and equipment, but it's the planning and the preparation for being in front of the camera. And then of course your camera presence and understanding what an edit is, mm-hmm. and that you don't need to be perfect in right. front of the camera because there's editors that will take care of that.
Right. Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You're right on point, is that when you're first starting out, specifically myself, you know, I was nervous to get on camera and even hear myself talk, you know, and then found out the power of editing. You know, it's a good tool, obviously, because it takes the stress out of it. But even if it is a live feed, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with video. So we tell people that if you got started today from zero, it's going to take you about 2 years to understand video, because there's the pre-production planning, there's the on-camera performance and kind of understanding how you are on camera. Mm-hmm. And then there's the the marketing of that. So once you have your .mov files, like, what do you do? Like, how do you create a workflow and a process to get those videos out to your target audience when, you know, you have a sales video, you have a SEO thought leadership video, you have a recruiting video, an awareness video, you have all those different kinds of videos you really don't have any processes for, and it's not a document. So again, what do you do with it? So to understand and go through like two cycles or three cycles of a producing and creating content takes a year to 2 years for most companies to do that.
Gotcha. And being that multivision, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but being that you work across diverse industries, you know, different law firms and different, I think you said manufacturing industries, right? How do you approach tailoring video content to meet the specific needs and objectives of those clients in different sectors? Can you kind of take us through when you start with the company, how does it work when you start to kind of the completed version of all that?
I mean, I'll say that's part of the secret sauce.
Right, right.
But I think there's two things that came to mind as I was thinking about the answer here is number one, going back to what I said before, the first thing you do when you start thinking about video is forget about video. Is really aligning a plan for video based upon the business strategy that a company has, right? So the law firm, for example, we have worked with different practice areas over time because they're investing in different practice areas to get those practice areas coverage, right? With manufacturing companies, they have different products that fit different industries that they're working on versus you can't work on everything at the same time.
Right, right.
So that's the first thing to do is the strategy. And then when you dive into the execution, messaging. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what I see in video in the very beginning. And that like throws people on their head because like we're talking about video, but I care about what I hear about video. And we have an example called the Blue Tree example. Maybe we can put it in the notes here, but it basically says, if your messaging is, we love green trees, right? I just need a picture of a green tree. That's it, right? But if your messaging is, we love green trees, but we love to see your, you know, kids' reactions when they see a tree turn blue, because what you do is turn trees blue.
Right.
Then I need to find a way to, you know, shoot a kid playing with their dog, walking down the street and going, wow, and having that tree turn blue.
Right.
That's a very, very different message than we love green trees.
Yes.
It's more complex. So the messaging is going to tell me what I need to do in order to execute your plan. And then that will also dictate the budget. How much time do I need? What do I need? Motion graphics? Do I need actors? Do I need animation? Do I need drones? Everybody wants a drone. Well, that's an extra person.
Right.
And extra equipment, right? That, guess what? You need to pay for.
Yeah.
Right? But can you do a shoot without a drone and be happy with it? Most of the times you can. But if you really, really want a drone, you need to budget for that.
Right.
So messaging, that's going to drive, you know, the execution part of that.
That makes sense. So when you're working with them, you do put, I'm assuming, different packages together, what it would kind of look like if they went this route versus, you know, for example, like you just said, drones versus no drones. Do you kind of put that into the different packages?
That's correct. Everything we do is bespoke. And I would say that anybody listening here that's considering video, be open with your video production company. There's a lot of good video production companies out there across the nation, like really, really high quality stuff, really good at what they do. And really what video production companies do is make your vision happen for your budget. And there's a lot of things behind the scenes that go into a video that you'll never see that they do, but they know what levers they can pull up and pull down. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you just one more example here. This one organization wanted a 3D rendering of their kind of like how the air went into their device and spun around and basically made powder, micronized them. So it took really fine powder and make them super, super, super fine. And through air injection. And 3D is expensive.
Right.
So I said, well, we could do the 3D, or I could do more videos. And what I could do is take an image, which you already have, and just draw a dotted line through the flow to communicate the flow of the air, right? Which was so much more cost effective than having a 3D animation of all of that. And he opted for taking our suggestions, and we made that kind of dotted line through a static image, but we got 4 more videos out of that shoot. Because we didn't spend the budget on the 3D animation.
Right. I'm sure, depending on the people, I'm sure they all have an idea of what they want. But then you guys come in as the visionary and kind of say, okay, well, you could look at it this way. And being that you guys are the experts in that area, I'm sure that helps them out big time.
Yes.
So at the same time, I'm sure you guys have worked with some people that are a little more hard-headed. They want it this way. And, you know, but then again, like you said, it's going to cost them if that's exactly how they want to do it.
Yep. I mean, every business has clients that, you know, have that are either open to suggestion or they're not.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, 1,500 videos, though, that is a ton. Are any of them alike, like 2 videos the same from out of all those, or are they all different?
Yeah, a lot of them are the same, because I'll take that law firm, for example, and I'll give you another example. But we go in, we set up. And the background is the same, the framing is the same, but we'll have different lawyers come in throughout the day and talk about their specific area of expertise. So in that respect, they're the same. And whether we're doing it for a law firm or a software company or a bank or a nonprofit, like that kind of like execution style is the same. We also did... So another kind of thought about the same is a software company where Sage Software was a dealer of Sage Software. One specific software, but they were able to tweak the software and customize it for consumer packaged goods and banking and metallurgy. And I can't remember the other 2. Pharma was one, and there was one more. So what we did is had the person talk about how they approach and how they customize the software for each of those industries, where 40% or 60% of the video was the same. But then you had a variant per industry, which was, you know, 40 or 50%. So we were able to be very strategic, where the core of the message was the same because it's software, the value props, but there was a variant there. Because if they went to a trade show for consumer packaged goods, they're going to say one thing with one type of word tracks versus consumer packaging. They're going to talk about the software a little differently. But the core of the software is the same. So in that respect, we were able to get, I believe, like 5 videos out of that day that were specifically targeted to each industry segment. But we kind of... you know, did them all at the same time, which had some similarities to them.
Right. This is really interesting to me. I'm sorry, I know I keep asking questions about how it all works, but do you lean more towards scripted videos or non-scripted?
Non-scripted.
Really?
Most of the time, yes. But I'll use our interaction here as an example, right? This is an unscripted conversation.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we didn't plan for it. Okay, we have a kind of a plan. We talked before, and we've got questions. Okay, we're kind of varying off that a little bit, but we're kind of generally following our flow. So that doesn't mean we're not planned in terms of what we're going to talk about. You know, for me as a director to know what the business messaging is and the person who's talking about it. But the assumption is that the person knows what they're talking about and they can talk about it. And P.S., they can, and they do every single day of the week without any script. So why is being in front of the camera so different? I don't know. But luckily for me, that's why I have a job.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not really sure why people like just fumble in front of a piece of electronic equipment. But also, that also goes back to the fact that you will fumble in the beginning and you'll get used to it and you'll understand how to do it. And then you'll be better in another year or 2 years and you'll get your camera presence in. Mm-hmm. But we always go with no scripting. We put messaging, we put bullet points down. For me as a director, I want to make sure that that person stays in the rails and that if there's a, 50% productivity gain, that's the value prop. I need to make sure that that person says 50% productivity gain, because once I leave, it's impossible to get that again, mm-hmm. a person, right? So part of my job and part of a video production services company, which a lot of people don't think about, is the professional services. Like, they think video production is all about the cameras and equipment, mm-hmm. and it's not. I mean, that's almost the easy stuff, if you will. Right. You know, it's the pre-production, it's working with people, it's all the setup. Mm-hmm. And once everything's done, it's just you let the cameras and the equipment do their stuff. You press buttons.
Right.
But yeah. It's everything before you press a button that is just professional services.
Yeah. I don't know why this just came up, but I was just thinking how you said once you don't have them say that, it's pretty much impossible for you to get them to get that, you know, that content back into the video. It just made me think of AI and how people are having the voices. If they just plug in a certain amount of someone's voice and then they type in the words, then they can almost match what the voice sounds like. Do you guys utilize that at all?
We have not yet.
Okay.
Hopefully won't have to for that specific use case.
Right.
But I'm sure we will at some point in the future, you know, use AI.
Right.
We've done some stuff for AI where we've taken their shirt and maybe it was a little too wrinkled, you know, because they move and stuff like that. And when they're moving and they have their mojo going, we don't really stop them and we want to kind of smooth it out. So we've done some stuff with that. It's pretty neat. But we really haven't used AI for video creation. And I'm not saying that somebody should not use AI. I think AI is a part of the puzzle. I'll go off on this tangent just a little bit, but any business should be doing lots of video, lots of different kinds of video, from high end, middle end, lower end, DIY, AI. They should be doing all of those kinds of videos in their mix of sales and marketing communications. You know, and again, AI is a piece of the puzzle.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. I did want to get into a little bit of the leadership aspect. Being that you're the president of the company, how do you motivate, provide recognition and feedback to your team?
Those are a couple answers there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that either one of them are right. You probably have to ask them. Right. So like, this is how I think anyway.
Right.
But the first is leading by example. I hire people and people work for me that don't need to be micromanaged, because I can't micromanage them. That's just like, that's not my style. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky to be in an industry where there's a lot of good talent that I've been able to sift through the talent that didn't work for me or didn't work out for me. You know, I can hire talent on a contract basis to try them out before bringing them into my team.
Okay.
So I've been able to weed through a lot of people. So in terms of motivation, I think leading by example and evolving and being fair, like some of our core values is on our website at Multivision Digital, fairness to ourselves, to us being human, to our family, to our work-life balance. And I give that to my team because I do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go away for 2 weeks, do it, go for it.
Right.
You know, like that's part of life. You need to do that. You need to leave early or in the middle of the day to go to a doctor's appointment or pick your kids up, do it, go for it. I do that. So work is a part of life, not the other way around. Evolution, always evolve. And I think that not only do I like, it's not just a money thing, mm-hmm. right? In terms of like, hey, you know, you have dollars that you can go learn and you can go try stuff, but our business has evolved since we started, you know, way back when, and we continue to evolve. We're doing personalized video right now where you can like literally take names and data like a mail merge, like an email mail merge, and merge them into videos. Mm. Right. And that's, yeah. that's, we're just testing this now. We finally did a test this past week and we're planning to do some really cool stuff with this from, for our own marketing, but that's like super cool.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
And that's doing new stuff. Our quality of work has evolved. The projects that we're working on has evolved. And then the people that, you know, evolution is not just client facing, but us as a, as people, you know, to grow. And then of course, quality of work. So, I mean, from a motivational standpoint, I think that's hopefully what I do. And what were the other two? Motivation.
Provide recognition and feedback to your team.
Gotcha. Recognition. That's easy. Just always recognizing them and thanking them and letting them know that I wouldn't be here and they wouldn't, well, I don't want to say that you wouldn't be here, but you know, we wouldn't be here without a team, you know, business. And I've said this many times, business is about people and processes, you know, and then feedback. I don't know. I think that's just like a continual back and forth. We don't really have any, oh, once a year, we're going to provide feedback. You know, mm-hmm. we're kind of always giving and getting feedback. And again, I think I'm lucky that I've not really had too many issues. I think I've had one employee issue in my 13 years where I've had to really say, hey, that you're not meeting up to expectations. And then that led to actually me letting them go. Mm-hmm. That's once.
Right.
And that person is still working for me as a contractor.
Oh, wow. You said something interesting, you know, that I might not be here, you know, or didn't know if I would be here, but that's actually very true, is if I didn't go through good leaders and bad leaders and ones who didn't provide recognition and feedback. And that's kind of what drove me to starting this podcast, you know, is that I wanted to speak about leadership and the top leaders in the country who have been there, done that, and what their expertise is and how they got to where they are today, you know. And that's a very good point. I wouldn't be as passionate about it, I think, right now if I didn't only had bad leaders or only good leaders. You know, it's like I want to get it out there and share all the good advice and different viewpoints. I'm glad you mentioned that. You also talked about work-life balance, and I have always thought that was such a huge part of a business, especially once I experienced it myself. I have 5 children, you know, so being able to take them to the doctors at any point, you know, that I needed is a huge, huge benefit for myself and everyone else that's working there, you know. But obviously when they, I think people, and I'd like your opinion on this a little bit, but people I think get a little bit misconstrued when they hear work-life balance. They think that they're going to balance work and personal life on an even scale, but it's not really an even balance, right? It's more so, it's a lot of work, but you're getting the benefits of things that some companies don't offer. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. You know, I mean, I go on vacation and I'm going to take a call here and there. Mm-hmm. It's just what I need to do. And sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you have to take a call. I'm like, but I'm, you know, I'm calling from you from my car.
Yes.
On my phone, having a meeting, a sales meeting. And by the way, there's a beach just, you know, in Spain. I'm right. You know, like, it's okay.
Yeah. You know? I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, it's okay. This is what you do, what you need to do. And, you know, one of the other things I want to say is that when I hire people and interview people, I ask them, what do you like to do and what do you not like to do? Because I don't want to put somebody in a position or in a place that they're doing something they don't like.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer of, you know, discover your strengths and double down on them, because everybody can't do everything. Mm-hmm. And even with my kids growing up, like, you know, figure out what you like to do. You don't have to get straight A's, you know,
right.
Because
yes.
You don't like, you just don't like something, you know, mm-hmm. You got to get at least a C. You
can't, yeah,
get
exactly. Yeah, you gotta pass.
But find out what you like to do and double down on that. So I really try to put people and give them things that they like to do. Mm-hmm. And that served serve the business well.
Right. Years. Yeah. Any HR leaders listening, that's a very good interview question. You know, make sure you guys take note of that. What do you like to do and what don't you like to do? That might lead you towards getting an answer out that will lead whether that person is going to be a good fit or not. So thank you for that. I do appreciate that. So what can clients expect from Multivision Digital and how can they connect or reach out for your services and then also connect with you?
Multivisiondigital.com. And if you're a manufacturing company, videoformanufacturing.com. And they can expect a thoughtful approach to sales and marketing content that happens to be video. At the core, we are a professional services company. We're not a video production company. Our aim is to best utilize a budget to get sales and marketing content that moves the needle. So that company can then come back to us again, again, and again. And that's really how we have grown. We have a lot of repeat clients. Not only do we provide great customer service, but I think that approach has allowed them to see the needle move and then come back and be like, yeah, let's do this again.
Thank you for that. That's awesome. I did have one last question for you. So what advice would you give to leaders who are looking to specifically start a marketing service company? And what are some tips on ensuring that it runs successfully?
I think I've got maybe 2.5 answers for this. First, understand that it's people and processes. You can start a marketing services company today at a significantly low investment because there's a lot of great resources to get good marketing people to do different things. Remember, one marketing person is not going to like or be skilled at everything. So you can literally build your team out there and treat them well. I mean, I have one of my employees now, she's a VA, she's in the Philippines. She's been with me for coming up on 4 years now. She's an employee. She's more than a VA. And she's like my marketing coordinator. She takes time off. She has vacation. I give her bonuses. You know, like she's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, understand that you can get good resources locally or even internationally, you know, for your team. And then the second thing is sales. If you don't have sales, you have no business. So if you're thinking like, oh, I just don't like to sell. I don't like to cold call. I don't like to talk to people. Then just don't go into business, you know, because that's the first thing you need to do is like, if you're not bringing in the money, you have no business. Those are my 2.5 pieces of advice.